Welcome to the PPC Show. I am Paul Wicker.
And I'm JD Prater.
And today is April 17th, and these are your top headlines in marketing. Apologies for the late delivery of the last podcast. If you're paying attention, it was released yesterday. Sorry. But I'll blame it on COVID, because when in doubt, just blame COVID-19.
It's all right, man. I mean, hey, no, life gets in the way sometimes, and that's okay.
Right. COVID times, you know.
It's okay.
I did get on social media to post, and I did notice a nice post by you, Mr. Prater, about Core getting a refresh, a new ads manager.
Yeah. So we're not saying like a full-on new ads manager. Not full-on. That's coming. This is more redesigned. So we had to be very careful with this wording. So if those out there listening,
okay, marketing yeah, I know. Man.
Well, no, this actually came from designers and PMs. They were actually more scared to say new ads manager because they were like, well, functionally, we only corrected a couple of things. But this is design-wise, it looks like this, and this. You're like, cool, so we got a new design. All right.
Right.
So they actually corrected me. I was ready to go all in. But brand new. You'll see it. It's more than just going from red to blue. I know in some of our screenshots, that's all it looks like. But that is a key element.
Red, blue. Blue means success, financial success.
That's right.
If you ever look at those marketing studies about what colors mean, that's why like Facebook and everybody wants to be blue. It's like the number one brand
color. Not red is the answer. You don't want to be in the red.
Right. And Cora's logo is red.
Red, a little angry. But no, we got some new brand colors in there too. So it's a quick update. I'll give you some quick functionality.
Yeah, give us the highlights.
Because I know you guys all out there really care about this. There's two main things that I want to call out that were like everyone hated. Campaign name titles are no longer truncated. They are now wrapped. You can now see the full campaign name. I know, such a small thing, but it's huge. Next thing, the calendar widget. We actually have a calendar now for the date picker. So now you can go in, select the date range that you're looking for, rather than our previous version, which was just like yesterday, 7-day, 30-day, last week. You know, it was just like predefined. Now you got some like real ability to get some dates in there and pick through them. Some minor updates. It's no longer called conversions, you know. We're going to be calling those event tracking. And so really the thinking through is very similar to like how Facebook and Google are doing that as well. So add to cart, not really a conversion. It is more of a conversion event. So now we are calling it events. Little things, but I think overall you'll find it smoother and faster. This new redesign is also on a new code base. Oh, my gosh. Whoa, code migration.
What is it?
We're using React.
Oh.
Yeah, getting fancy. But the key here, too,
I thought
is,
I was going to stump you. Sorry. Good job.
Yeah, web node to React. Look at me. Look at me hanging out with the PMs and the engineers.
Nice.
I don't know what any of those two things are, but the cool thing is, more than anything, is this has allowed for a lot of libraries to be built. Paul knows all about libraries, being on the PM side.
JavaScript libraries. Build those components.
Components. Now, what that means, features are going to get built faster. That's how that means to you, the advertiser. So 2020 should be a lot of fun with a lot of fun new features coming out in the Ads Manager. Real headline goal for you guys is we're trying to reduce the time that you're spending in the core Ads Manager. So really think about the ROI of your time. It'll be a key component that you'll see in 2020.
Do you know where React came from?
No.
Facebook. Facebook open-sourced it.
Of course.
So you are...
Of course.
You are supporting the Facebook machine.
Of course we are. I have no doubt with our CEO as their first, our CEO was their first CTO, right? So, and a lot of Facebook DNA in Quora. So no surprise there.
Interesting. He might have built some of the first versions of what became React.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I should actually, that'd be a good Q&A question for all hands. Maybe I'll try to be really cool and smart and get that one in.
Yeah, we'll just go learn up, study up on React. React has become super popular. A lot of people use it. So it's not like a weird choice because he knows Facebook. I don't know the numbers, but as a modern solution, as a like framework, I think it's probably a top three. So it's not like he's doing something weird. But I did notice, your component looked very familiar. I was like, it looks exactly like Twitter's, I think. Although I'm looking at the calendar component. Anyway, I'm going to give it a good product yeah. review.
We went through all of thoughts. Them. You know, we did a lot of competitive analysis with Google, Facebook. We actually really like Snap's Ads Manager. So you'll probably see some more similarities there. So Twitter's is, you know, LinkedIn's is like, oh, run away. But well, yeah,
speaking
anyway.
Of Facebook, copying Snapchat, good idea.
Good idea.
You are emulating Facebook in many ways.
That's right.
Copy Snap.
Copy Snap.
Well, if you haven't checked it out, do. I was just on it. It does look nicer. I haven't had a chance to actually play with it and go, I don't know, we have to edit our campaign so that I'll have a chance to play with some settings.
Yeah, get in there. Give me some feedback.
Yeah, I will. I will tear it apart.
Of course.
And then publicly humiliate you. No. Nice job. And also, I get a little banner in the product that says, welcome to the new Core Ads Manager. So someone didn't listen and branded it as a new. So go yell at your
There was a whole Slack thread on that. So
this is if you're not in a big company and coordinating between product, marketing, engineering is like it's sales. It's like an adventure because everybody wants something different. And then half the time on like, you know, when you're about to deploy something like a big release, trying to line it all up. So like the release notes say the same thing as the in-product help, says the same thing as the talking points that the CEO uses in the press is like a job in itself. And at small companies, you're just like, whatever, no one cares. But big companies, like, you got to get it right. Your CMO will usually yell at you if you call the thing the wrong thing. And
oh, yeah.
So yep. fun. Okay, so let's talk about some headlines. One is very relevant to podcasts. So I've stopped listening to as much of Pivot, our favorite podcast, but I have been going for runs in the morning and listening to Pivot, but I don't run for, you know, 3 hours a day, so it's not quite as much podcasting. Usage overall is down, so 10% drop in the number of downloads of podcasts. However, the advertising for podcasts is going up. So people who are booking podcast ads, like some of the big agencies and some of the big platforms, are reporting growth, despite obviously almost nobody's reporting growth this quarter except for podcasting. So
yeah, you know, I'm interested in this one, right? There was some, they made some like really good points in this article. I thought it was like kind of cool to see. One thing that I did like was ZipRecruiter has paused. So thank you, ZipRecruiter. I'm like, you're everywhere on every podcast that I'm listening to. So thank you for pausing. Like, that makes me very happy. But
yeah,
some
categories have clearly paused. So if you're in like travel,
yes,
or if you're in restaurants, yeah, anything where you're obviously not doing any business, I think they pause. But overall, because they're actually saying it's a good time to do brand advertising because you're right. not going to get transactions. So go do some brand.
Yeah. And I think, too, like to that point with podcast and brand, is the ability to update your messaging is much quicker using podcasts than it is, you know, with content collateral or like video. It might be already out there to where a lot of times in podcast, you actually are just submitting your audio file and it's dynamically being inserted, if they're, depending on what kind of platform they're using. So it's actually pretty easy just to upload a whole new file and it's being spread out. You know, they might be making very specific type of files for a specific podcast if they're big enough. But at the end of the day, it's pretty easy just to kind of change some words around, especially when you think 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds for an ad.
Yeah. And probably, you know, if you think of, I've said this on the podcast before, but I think it was Rupert Murdoch, somebody, you know, one of those like legendary business people who's controversial, said medias don't die, they evolve. Podcasting is just the evolution of radio, right? You're sitting there listening to audio. It's pretty much radio. And if you used to do radio ads, you can never do this. You can never be like, hey, let's swap out our creative to be reflective of the pandemic because you like booked a X number of days and they already sent it to the stations and, you know, they're like running it. So this is also a good time for companies like Spotify, Pandora, you know, folks who are trying to iHeartRadio who are trying to own this podcast space to show radio advertisers why podcasting is a better entry point to advertising so that one day they could then go like take over the radio stations rather than the other way around. So, all right. Yeah. So let's also talk about someone we don't usually talk about, Reddit. We have talked about Twitter, Facebook, Google, all rolling out regulations around COVID related items and political ads because November elections are right around the corner. Which might be another bright spot. This is a dark thing to say. A silver lining of the coronavirus is that we have not been just consumed with political ads and nonstop news cycle on politics. So that's good or bad. But it's amazing that the election is only, you know, a few months out. It's April now. So May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 7 months out. Normally at this point, you'd be just inundated with political advertising. Anyway, so Reddit announced that they're also doing some stuff to make political ads more clearly indicate political ads.
I'm actually a fan of this. I know again, you know, you either ban, like, you know, Quora, we just banned it completely. You've got Facebook kind of just all over the place with their updates. Google's taking some action, but I actually think this is. If you're going to allow it, this, I think, is at least a thoughtful rollout of what they did. Obviously, a couple of things that are interesting is like how they're defining them. So ads have to be related to campaigns and elections. They can also solicit donations, ads that promote voting, voter registration. But ads promoting political merchandise is interesting. Issue ads and advocacy stuff, you know, these are all like fine. Some things that I thought were kind of cool is this whole public disclosure subreddit. Did you see this one?
Yeah. Yeah, you need to have comments open.
For yeah. Like a 24 hours. Hour. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny.
But yeah. They're also, the subreddit, they will have one post per ad that has already been run with extensive detail in this subreddit. And what does extensive detail look like, Paul? Advertiser name, billing zip, spend, impressions, geotargeting, negative geotargeting, targeted subreddits, negative targeted subreddits, interest targeting, their ad duration and link to the ad. So they're spilling the beans on you, right? Like that's kind of impressive.
It's kind of like, the, you know, Facebook has that way you can look up people's ads.
Right.
I forget the name of it. It's become more and more hidden over time, but... It must be interesting if you're running political ads, like your strategy as a marketer is just out there for everyone to see. Here's my targeting. Here's everything. Here's
everything.
Data, here's how much I'm spending. Crazy.
Yeah. But you do have to work with their sales team, and all ads are manually reviewed. So those two things, I think, are key things to pick up on. You can't just run out there and start doing this.
Speaking of manual approval, here's a weird fact that leads us into the next story. Facebook, so right now everybody's working from home. In general,
yeah.
At Facebook, that is also true. Zuckerberg just recently posted on Facebook that Facebook employees will now be working from home through May, so the end of May, so essentially into June, and employees are expected to return at earliest June. But there's some exceptions, and one of the two people he called out as exceptions, one is engineers that work on specific hardware, assuming that, like, you know, they can't work at home because they're using some, I don't know if they're physically working on hardware that is like high end and they don't want to buy it for them at home, or if they're like soldering connections on racks of servers, because, you know, you could take it either way. Either way, that makes sense, right? You need equipment that you don't have at home. The other is the content reviewers. So
yeah.
they need the content reviewers on site. What are they doing? Why? Do you have any guess at why the content reviewers should be on site?
I'm guessing it has to do with access to the information and the computer that they're using to access it. I'm guessing they don't want this information to leave the premises. That is my guess on the moderation.
Like the content approval guidelines, that type of stuff? Or the pre-approved content?
Yeah, maybe. I'm guessing there's like probably some software that they're using that they developed, and it's probably a queue based off all of this, and they don't want to give, like, no signing into this unless you're on premise. That would be my guess.
Right.
Something like
I mean,
that.
It makes sense they wouldn't want to leak that, because if you know the filter, then you know how to beat the filter, which is, you know, always the fun game that people play with content.
Yeah.
But
or even just having a journalist looking over your shoulder when this is happening, or a competitor,
maybe picture of like some crazy thing
on
Facebook that will never actually be on Facebook. Yeah, these are good ideas.
I have no idea.
It stood out to me. I was thinking it was like for emotional support, and I'm not like realistically, I've heard about how terrible these jobs are because most of the content you're reviewing is not like, this, you know, trademarked? It's like violence and death and rape and the most horrible things you can imagine. So I was thinking maybe they just don't, they want to create kind of a safe space for people who have to stare at this stuff all day and have, they have therapists on staff. It's like, it's a pretty challenging job. So that was my other idea, but we can see. Maybe I'll tweet at Zuck, see if he answers.
that's actually like, it's funny to say tweet at Zuck, right? Like, of course he's not going to answer that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I am going to move a different story up since we're talking about Facebook.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Both them and Google, it's been reported that they're going to have down quarters, down years because of coronavirus, specifically some of those categories that do really well, like travel, are essentially went to zero. So they're really going to struggle. There's some record. Like, this is the first time I think either Google or Facebook are actually not going to grow, they think. So,
yeah.
I guess not so surprising, but for the people who are watching the economy, it's like, this is probably not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things too, right? Like, you can't grow forever, right? That we always know that. But, you know, a lot of times when they're doing their kind of quarterly guidance that they're giving or annual guidance, you know, so people kind of know what they're expecting, they're usually like, you know, we're going to grow 20 to 30% this year, right? And this year they're saying they're probably going to be flat. And you're still like, oh, so you're still going to make like $65 billion and $140 billion? Oh, that's awful. I'm not going to buy your stock. And you're like, really? Come on. I get it. But still, yeah. Like, that's a ton of money.
And like Google and Facebook and let's see, Apple specific, Microsoft, they have such giant war chests of cash that they're pretty insulated against the economy could stop, which it's on its way to doing. For probably months, and they could just put everything on pause, pay everybody great salaries, and then just start back up. Some folks can't. Well, either they can't or they don't want to, and they're using this as kind of cover to say, hey, we need to do layoffs. So Yelp laid off 1,000 employees and then furloughed another 1,100. I know Thumbtack, ooh, I saw something about them laying off like 100 folks. And, you know, if you're following the news, you'll see kind of layoffs throughout. And there's a lot of folks saying, like, yeah, this is just... You know, there's 100 underperformers you need to get rid of, and now it's like a very easy time for everybody to be like, oh, it was coronavirus, sorry. And employees are like, it wasn't me, it was a... But I don't know. That's one way of looking at it. For other companies, I mean, Thumbtack literally does, you need to find a plumber, you need to find a doctor, a lawyer. It's usually more home improvement stuff, but... And none of that stuff's allowed to happen right now unless it's essential service. So you can't actually get a plumber, but you're not supposed to get a landscaper or a painter or a... do a home remodel. So their business probably did go to zero. And I, you know, how much is in the war chest for these guys? Who knows?
I know. One of the things I got from this article too was Cirque du Soleil. How you say
that? Oh,
yeah. They spend $140,000 a day on ads. That was in February. And then in March, went down to $40,000 a day. In April, zero. And I was like, wow, you're spending $140,000 a day? Wow.
Right.
Good for you.
Yeah, one guy said all last month he ran searches for Las Vegas hotels. And he said it's the first time in history he's never seen an ad under Las Vegas hotels because literally the ad budgets have just stopped. So we'll see. We'll see. It does. I mean, from a health perspective, if you've been following the news, there's a lot of talk about we flattened the curve in many markets and now – you know, the healthcare system should be able to handle all the coronavirus cases. There still will be a lot more. Everybody is still sheltering in place or in quarantine to avoid spreading it further. There's a lot of unknowns still, but it does look like the economy can reopen, like people had been saying at the summertime. And we'll see, like, do some people or some companies casualties to the coronavirus as well?
Yeah, I mean, coronavirus. Google said it had taken down 50 million ads at the end of March, and that up to 80% of the 10 million or so bad ads it flagged daily were coronavirus related. You know, you're like, wow, you guys are going after it. So good to see that they are banning them, and especially for like these predatory ads around masks and sanitizers and other, you know, personal protective equipment. So
some folks who aren't struggling on the flip side are, you know, Netflix doing very well, Apple doing very well, Disney, that, you know, they launched Disney Plus at a very opportune time for them, right before everybody was going to be home looking for content. And Amazon, of course, Amazon Prime delivers content, and they deliver everything to the world in terms of, if you're going to go get your groceries delivered from Whole Foods, or if you're going to get anything delivered, it's Amazon. So they're doing very well financially. And they actually introduced a new feature. It's very tactical, but it's worth talking about, because Amazon's ad business has been very slow to develop over the years, but since they launched it, it's been growing rapidly. And, you know, their UI is pretty simplistic compared to folks like Google, but they look like they're taking the right steps, specifically for product targeting. So if you're doing display campaigns, they call them sponsored display on Amazon. Historically, you can only target by audience, which is nice. Now you could target by product and product category, which is way better on an e-commerce platform. So everybody pulled their ads back from Google, Facebook, and here's Amazon saying, hey, by the way, e-commerce is booming, so maybe it's time to shift some budget from brand and from lead gen over to e-com if you can. So they'll do even better.
I know. Well, I mean, I say, like, I still love Amazon. I'm still a Prime member, but like this, I'm not getting my stuff as quick, right? And so I'll go on there, and they're like, hey, you know, this isn't, you know, what I forget their name for it.
Essential.
So it's going to take a month. And you're like, cool, going to go to Walmart, going to go to Target, because they'll get it to me within a week. And so I've actually made a few purchases that I went to Amazon first and then ultimately bought on Target and Walmart because of that. So I hear you, like, this is a great thing. But then at the same time, as a marketer, yes, you get that revenue right then and there, but then like that brand experience of not getting the product till 3 weeks, a month later, like that's not a great experience for any customer. And so being related to that, I would just be cautious of.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Walgreens, so my girlfriend ordered a prescription from Walgreens. Fortunately, it wasn't anything like crazy that she needs, but you know, just like a normal prescription, from like their mail order. Normally she would just go to the pharmacy and pick it up. So she ordered from the mail order instead because, you know, stay at home. And they said, sure, 5 to 7 days. And then like a week went by and it didn't show up. And then she called and like, oh, it looks like the order's not in the system. You know, sometimes that happens, we'll resubmit it. 5 to 7 days. 7 days go by. Another week goes by. Oh. She calls them again. Oh, another song and dance about, you know, we've been really busy because coronavirus. It might be better to go to your local branch, but let me see if I can expedite it. Does that. Okay, we can expedite it Tuesday. Then calls us literally today, and I know it's just me griping about them, but and says, oh, you know, it's not covered by your insurance. And she's like, well, Walgreens has been like fulfilling this for a long time. And I'm bringing it up because of your point, like, so it's a really bad customer experience. Maybe it's because COVID, which, of course, if they're delivering critical medication to millions of people, like, that's more important. But their infrastructure, their ability to communicate that, you know, didn't leave us thinking like, oh, well, they're trying their best on COVID, that's more important. It was just like, wow, they're grossly incompetent and can't handle the scale and weren't able to communicate this. Like, we both said, if they would have just not sent an email saying you'll get it in 5 to 7 days, but instead say, we're overwhelmed, it would be best to go to your store. Mm-hmm. That's no problem. But instead, it took like 4 weeks and 5 phone calls. So, oh, end of rant.
Terrible.
But
it's terrible.
It's that, you know, if you take this whole wartime mindset concept that's been floated around a bit, it's like, of course, if you're in the crisis, I understand priorities, but you still need to communicate. Otherwise, you're going to, after this is over, you're going to do damage to a brand.
Yeah, 100%. And especially whenever you're ordering stuff online and you accidentally ship it to your old address. I mean, it's just a terrible experience that I'm working through right now.
Right. All right. But we got our complaining about legacy companies out of the way. And, you know, if you're there, I'm sure it's like impossible to change these types of things in the short term. So like, you know, I'm sure they're so overwhelmed and they're like, someone needs to update the automated email that goes out when someone submits an order. And they're like, oh, that will take us 3 months to change because they're big old slow companies. So I get it, but it's just not good enough in this day and age. All right, let's be more cheery. Amazon, well, this is still Amazon because Amazon owns Twitch. And a lot of that money that is getting diverted from places like Google and Facebook is going to esports. And Amazon is like, you know, their Twitch product is one of the largest places to live stream esports. And one brand specifically, BMW, made a big deal about how they're going to be spending a small fortune on esports to try to target the next generation of drivers. And they're taking that budget away from live sports and other places. But and the fact that live sports are basically on hold certainly didn't help. And I'm sure BMW had a strategy percolating, but I'm guessing this pandemic and the absence of live sports kind of pushed them to make this decision.
Oh, 100%. As our friend Professor Scott Galloway has said, you know, coronavirus is just accelerating the future. And I think to that point, BMW has said in this article too, the younger generation being born digital first doesn't really care about TV or traditional advertising. Esports is our tool to reach them. And I think that's 100% spot on. So I say good. Like when you think of like BMW, think of like these kind of bigger companies and like how they could be slow to move and how they could be, you know, lots of meetings, pivoting here, doing this, doing that. And to see a big company like them be able to come out, you know, see what's happening in the market, have that situational awareness, and then kind of like know what channels to run to. Like, right. I say, good job. Like whoever the marketing team is, like thumbs up.
Well, let me be not as positive. You're trying to be all good job, marketing team. I agree. The only thing is, it's actually late. If you're very late to the game on esports. So like,
agreed. Yeah.
The world championship final of one of the games that they play in esports attracted an audience of 100 million viewers, which is more than the last Super Bowl.
Wow.
So it took a Super Bowl level event before people started switching their budgets over. And that, that's not new. They've been doing this, I don't know, it's like the sixth year they've been doing this event. And to be fair, in this article, it said BMW started kind of dipping their toes in it back in 2017. But the folks who were early movers on this and got sponsorships, bought teams, I mean, it's now, I don't think it was in this article, but something I was reading about, someone had a chance to buy a team for like $2 million, and now that team to be the sponsor is something like $25 million in like a few years. So it's pretty crazy. And the numbers are huge. So like, I forget, I think it's like 5X box office. So like the numbers of revenue generated from it are like out of control. So if you are a marketer, it's probably a good time to brush up on it. You have some free time probably. If you're not doing Facebook, Google, go check out Twitch and then take a look at Twitch advertising and see if it's something you could play around with. That's my
advice. Mean, it looks pretty cheap to reach that many people comparatively, right? So, man, I would go in all in on this if I could. So,
yeah, if it's your demographic. Obviously, yeah, if you're trying to sell to anyone over the age of like 25, there's like very few. great. Well, those are all the headlines we have, believe it or not. If you want more, you could always go to blog.adsage.io and sign up for our newsletter. Our newsletter went out yesterday. It was quite good, if I don't say so myself. So if you want some pithy headlines, be sure to sign up for the newsletter so you get that in your inbox. Enjoy your week, everyone.
We'll see you later.